Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We saw just a couple of weeks ago, I guess maybe 3 weeks ago now, maybe someone remembers, but on EMIC, they had this, the number that was up there on the screen. And so it's 633, and then like he said, 9 commas after that of other numbers that I can't recite. It would be really awesome if I could recite all those to you. That would be like reciting pi, though. I'm not there yet. So, but I mean, that's the hundredfold, not just 100 times what you're sowing. The Bible says we can get 1,000 times, but the hundredfold is way greater than that. It's way greater than that. So, get your expector up. Get your expectation of rich up. Get your expectation of multiplication up. Get your expectation to where it needs to be. Because ultimately, you're the determining factor. You're the determining factor. What you're able to expect is what you'll believe. And that's kind of what we're going to get into today. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Christ in you the hope of glory. So we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And the Lord has really been stirring this on the inside of me. And I picked it up and I put it down and I picked it up and put it down, but we're going to just go full ahead and follow the Holy Ghost in this. Amen. So Colossians 1, let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you that hearts are ready to receive your word. Father, we thank you that our minds are ready to receive your word. We thank you, Lord, that our thoughts are focused on you, that we have the mind of Christ today, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, like we've already prayed, to receive your word. Father, I thank you that you think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. I fully commit myself over to you to hear your word, speak your word, and declare what it is that you have for me to say today. Father, I thank you that hearts are ready to receive today. And Father, before I move from this moment of prayer, I lift up our pastors to you today. I thank you, Lord, that you bless them today. I thank you, Lord, that they find great favor everywhere they go today. I thank you, Lord, that they find favor in the Daughters of Zion meeting today. I thank you, Lord, that as they go to Kufi tomorrow, that they find favor there. I thank you that as they go to the Hill, they find favor with our senators and our representatives. Father, I thank you for eloquent words on the inside of them, that exactly what it is that you have for them to say, the people that you have for them to meet, that they are divinely acquainted with them in the name of Jesus, and it is brought together. Father, I thank you for safe travels for Art and Amanda and the kids today. I thank you, Lord, that as they board that plane, it is covered by the precious blood of Jesus, and they fly over to D.C. With a smooth, easy flight in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that they also know exactly what to say, when to say it, meet the people they need to meet. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing them today. I want to tell you a quick story that has nothing to do with my word, but saying divinely acquainted, I just want to get your expectations up for this kind of thing. When we were in D.C. last time, that was in 2019, the six of us, I believe, is who went, right? It was just the six of us who went. And so this time Jordan and I decided to stay home and hold the fort. But the six of us went, and we went to a restaurant there, and we met this lady that came and she waited on our table. She was our waitress for the thing, and it was a blessing to us. She was a sweet lady, all that stuff. But as she was leaving, she said, "Hey, you're visiting. Let me give you my card." And she said, "I work for the archives." She said, "Just give me a call, and I'll get you in on a special tour." Okay, so I don't know if you guys know this, but when you go to that place in D.C., it's a wraparound line around the building. It takes a long time to get in, and then you're packed like sardines with people moving through this facility. So the six of us got to go through a special entrance into this building, go stand where there was just a few people before it officially opened, before the place officially opened, and we got to go see the founding documents of our nation. Why? Because we were divinely appointed to be at this table at that time with that lady who gave us favor to have access. Your life should be like that every single day. If you will just hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to you every single day, it's like that. That memory just stays so special with me. And then seeing those archives, I'm going to tell you, the presence of God was in that room. There was something special happening when I saw our Constitution. There was something special happening when I saw that declaration, because they met God when they wrote those documents. They met God when they wrote those documents. And so I fully believe that that covenant is coming to pass, and our Constitution will be established the way it was originally written, in Jesus' name. All right, so I'm hoping that by now you found Colossians 1. If not, look on with a neighbor. Colossians 1:26. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, "There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed." This was about 2,000 years ago, but it's still being revealed today. Amen? "Unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience." Every holy believer to experience. "Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ is embedded within us, becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me, to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ." Amen. I can read this with the same inspiration, passion, and intensity of Paul, because I know for this purpose I've been called. It is the purpose of God that I would help you to know what is the revealing of the glory of God on the inside of you. What it is that God has made manifest for you. And you've been called for that as well, that the glory of God would be manifest out of you in the earth. Don't jump ahead, Danny. The Holy Spirit told me a few weeks back when I was in prayer, he said, "Teach people about finding their destiny, prophetic teaching, bringing their heavenly design into their earthly makeup." So that's my objective for today. These are the lines which I want to teach along. And we're barely going to scratch the surface, because there's a whole lot to it. But I'd like to dig into it a little bit. As the fivefold, the end of this verse is really the purpose for which we are called. To equip, to train, to nurture, perfecting, making fully qualified. That's what it means to be perfect in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're perfect like you get everything right in order. That word perfect, if you actually translate it out, means to mature, to grow, to train. That Jesus is the one who qualified us spiritually, but we still need to train our soul. We still need to train our mind, will, and emotions. I heard John G. Lake, I listened to just a brief little piece before I was jumping in the shower the other day, and he said, you recognize, one, your spirit doesn't sin, and two, your body doesn't actually sin. It's your will that sins. Your will and your mind is what make the choice for your body to go complete an act. If your mind and your will were in order, then your body wouldn't be sinning. It isn't just going against your will doing crazy stuff. No, it's in line with your mind and your will. That's when sin starts to occur. So your mind and your will and your emotions is what needs to be constantly trained. When you're qualified for the army, there are certain qualifications to get into the army. Is that correct? You have to have a certain line of things in order to do that. But once you're qualified, you still go train. They don't just qualify you and then say, punk, get out there. Because if so, it would be really dangerous. It's important for us to train. We were qualified by Jesus, but it's important for us to train. Amen? Glory to God. So, this is what I wrote. So, victory fit, here we come. We'll start with some push-ups. I'm just kidding. We aren't going to start with some push-ups. But here's where we will actually start. It says that Christ is the message. Were you ready? You want to do some? Oh, okay. Christ is the message we preach. I'll let you. And it says in Galatians 3:8, you can turn there if you want. I'm just going to jump through this really quick. So Galatians 3:8, it says, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham." He preached the gospel to Abraham. Well, what was the gospel? It's what we've been on for weeks with Pastor Roxanne. It says it in verse 13. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith.'" That's the gospel, that he redeemed us, and now that the blessing belongs to us. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. That word redeemed does not mean he just forgave our sins and we're going to heaven. It means that redemption has come, that the blood of Jesus has come and set us free. That the blood of Jesus has come and given us access to what we had lost by the fall of the garden. That the blood of Jesus has paid for our full redemption. It says in Psalms that he delivered us from the pit of hell, and he reunited us with the covenant love of Hesed, and he reunited us with mercy like a mother loves a child in her womb. He reunited us with these things. You see, redemption paid for a whole lot more than your forgiveness of sins. I wrote a whole message on this and then scratched it and started over, but maybe someday you'll hear it. But he redeemed us from these six things. It spells Christ. He redeemed us to covenant. Amen. He redeemed us to his Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of life. He redeemed us in relationship. He redeemed us to an inheritance. He redeemed our status to where we had been before the fall of Adam. And he redeemed us to the open door, which I'm really excited to preach on. I might do that Wednesday night, if the Holy Ghost says. Glory to God. So if it were not for him, everything else that I'm going to tell you would not be true. So please don't take any of this as Jesus not being the most valuable. If it weren't for what he did, nothing else that I'm about to say to you would be true. He is his blood is what gives us access to everything else that's been made available. I don't take that lightly, and I don't set that aside. So please do not get any of that. But God's image of who he called you to be is on the inside of you. His image has not changed. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And neither did the design he had for you. Neither did the design that he had for mankind. When he created mankind in that garden, that very same authority, dominion, fruitfulness, everything that he created in that garden is the same plan he has for mankind today. That was the whole purpose that he thought it was worthy to send the blood of his son. That was this whole purpose of why he thought it was worthy to give up the most valuable thing in heaven and his blood to be shed out, was because his plan has not changed for his family to have this earth. Amen. So the other day while we were in prayer, I'm going to do a plug for Tuesday mornings. We have prayer here, 10 a.m. If you're interested in coming to pray, there's your plug. But as we were praying, Bree was praying, and all of a sudden on the inside of me, I saw like this liquid gold on the inside of me. And I just knew that it was the glory. And I saw a hand reach out from me, grabbing out. And it wasn't specific to me. It was God telling me, "It is Christ in you, the hope of glory for this earth." It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not me specifically. Christ in you, the born again believer, is the hope of glory in this earth. It was grabbing out, trying to reach out to the atmosphere around you. You are God's plan A. God doesn't operate with a plan B. He said, it says, the word says, before the foundation of the world, he knew that he would send Jesus. You see, Jesus wasn't a plan B. Jesus was the plan A. Before the foundation of the world, he knew what he was going to do to have us in a redemptive status where we would be able to do everything he called us to do in this earth. Amen? Glory to God. So the glory that was outwardly stole in the garden is inwardly hidden in you, that the church would reveal to all principalities and powers the word, that it would reveal to all principalities and powers the manifest wisdom of God. This full perfect plan, the full glory being in the earth, was called to be revealed by the church. That's what Ephesians tells us. Amen? So we are to become the perfect man in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, my Bible turns to Ephesians quite easily. I don't know about y'all, but I was taught when I started reading the word, you read Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3, and then you read Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3, and then you start reading Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3, and when you get bored of that, read Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3. Why? Because it tells you who you are. It tells you who you are. And so you need to get that on the inside of you. And then read the rest of the Pauline epistles, and not Miss Pauline, like Paul in the Bible. Miss Pauline, you got some epistles? You wrote any? She'll teach you something. I don't know if she wrote any epistles, maybe. Ron's probably read them twice. All right, so it says in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what I was talking about earlier, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the perfecting. This is the training. This is the growing. This is what we're moving into. This is what we're getting deeper into. Amen? God's design from every generation, from the time Jesus was resurrected from the dead until this very day, was that we would have his very image. You are to become more like Jesus every single day. How do you do that? By forcing yourself to behave? No. By knowing him. By knowing him. Have you ever recognized that when you hang out with someone all the time, you start to say things they say? You start to talk like they talk? You start to do things they do? You pick up on little key phrases, or you pick up on the way that they do something, or sometimes you learn stuff from them and you start to change the way you do it because it makes more sense to do it that way? When you hang out with Jesus, that's what happens. When you get into his word, that's what happens. When you hear the Holy Ghost, that's what happens. You start to act like he acts. You start to think like he thinks. You start to talk like he talks. You start to do what he did, because you're spending time growing with him. It doesn't have to be a, stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. No, that's what you do to babies. But as you mature and grow, they begin to self-correct. My children, I know, no longer have to smack their hand over and over again. I give them one look and they know. We begin to grow and move into those things. Amen? So daily your life should be more reflective of Jesus. Spiritual growth and spiritual strength are required to move forward. Both of those. Spiritual growth and spiritual strength. Growth to move to the next level. And strength to hold the weight for the increase in glory. The Bible tells us specifically that we are to go from glory to glory. We are to move up from level to level to level. As we grow on the inside, as our capacity grows on the inside, we're growing and we're moving into more glory that the Lord has for us. But if we aren't growing in faith, we aren't able to hold the glory that's growing on the inside of us. So we must go from glory to glory and faith to faith. They both have to be happening. We have to have spiritual growth and spiritual strength. If you're just growing in one and not the other, the endurance isn't present to hold out the task that's at hand. So we have to be growing in both of those areas. Amen? So let's look a little bit deeper in what we're going to do this. John chapter 14. I heard Brother Copeland say some of this, and I don't know that I try to mirror exactly what he says, but he's got something special about him, you know? John chapter 14, verse 10 says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Do you believe that? That's a test for yourself. Do you believe that? That Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him? "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority." So Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works." That's not a misspeak. It shouldn't be words, words, or works, works. You see, what Jesus was saying is the works are tied to the words. The words Jesus spoke were tied to the works the Father did. The words Jesus spoke were tied to the works the Father did. The word that abides in you is what is working in you. This is what Pastor taught us on Wednesday night. If you were hearing what she said the words that you're stirring up on the inside of you. That's what John 15 says. It says that the word that abides in you, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, what is it? It's the word that's abiding on the inside of you. If you ask anything in his name, that means that you have revelation of what he has done, who he is, and what he will do. You're asking in his name. It's not just throwing it around willy-nilly. He says that people will throw around his name willy-nilly, but that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. No, it's that you would know, man, Holy Ghost, that's really good. That, I like when the Holy Ghost teaches me while I'm teaching. That means that when you use his name, you know what his word says he will do, and you will know who he is. You have revelation of who he is. Your words are tied to the works that you see happening in your life right now. Your life is a result of the words that have been coming out of your mouth. And if you don't like it, change them. We're going to talk about that just a little bit here, because he says that he wants for you to be one with him the same way that Jesus and the Father are one. Is that the helicopter? Lord bless him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for keeping them safe. He wants them to be in the same way that your words tie to your works, that you are one with him. All of heaven is watching the words coming out of your mouth. Your angels are waiting on go for the words to come out of your mouth. When your words align with heaven, they're at work on your behalf. And when they don't, they just stand there and wait for your words to align with the word. Amen. What was that thing called that Jake did last night? What's that called? Steer saddling. So they do this thing. We went to the rodeo the last two nights. I don't know about, I just think maybe I should have been born on a ranch. So they did steer saddling last night, and it's probably one of the funniest things I've seen because last night they did okay. The night before, the first responders, that was something. Lord bless our first responders. I love them, and I'm so grateful for them. The steer saddling was questionable. I'm glad they know how to save lives and not saddle steers for a living. But so they let the steer out, and then they're chasing this thing, grabbing it by the head, grabbing it by the tail, finally think they got the saddle on. Then they, like, roll off the side. Then they're, like, yanking it this way and pulling it this way. Danny, have you fell off your word? No, not at all. Sometimes getting our words under control is just like that. You think you got the saddle on. You climb on top of that thing, and the next thing you know, you're flipped off the side, and you got to get your words back in order. Sometimes you're like, I'm just about to the finish line, and then the steer is going the opposite direction with no saddle, and you have to start all over again. I mean, And sometimes it's ugly. I mean, you watch them pulling that thing by the tail. That was some of the funniest stuff. I was like, what are they doing? They got it all. And then Jake Becker gets up there. He did it twice last night. The second time I was like, man, he made these people all look like fools. It looks so easy. And Jesse said he was pretty worn out. So, I mean, it may take you some discipline, is what I'm saying, to look like you got your words in order. It may require some work for you to get your words in order. You may feel like there's a little bit of a challenge. But I'm telling you, once you start getting it in order, everyone else is going to just think you got it together. So you don't have to tell them how worn out you are, amen? Thank you, Jesus. So you need to change your words by changing your thoughts. This is how we get those things in order. The Lord gave me two illustrations about changing your thoughts. I'm dealing with Kylie here. Hopefully it's supernatural weight loss. That would be awesome. Come on, Victor Fit. I said it in the beginning. I believe it's true. So there are two things the Lord told me about to mention to y'all about getting your thoughts in order to get your words in order. The first thing is this. You don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to answer the thought coming in. What does that look like? Anyone heard something on the other end of your line like, I'm calling to offer you your extended warranty. Has your extended warranty? Okay, I'll tell you, I don't even have a car in my name. All of our cars are in Jordan's name, and they still call and offer me extended warranties. I'm like, sure, when you provide the vehicle. Okay, how many of you have ever signed up for that extended warranty? One person. One person from the phone call. So she was looking for it and she needed it. But not one other person took that extended warranty just because they called, right? Just because the devil is calling and trying to sell you something doesn't mean you gotta take it. You just change that to spam likely, send it to the side, and stop paying any attention to it. I found this cool feature on my phone where it doesn't even ring through anymore. It just goes straight to voicemail. It's fantastic. The second thing is this. Once you have taken a thought, tell the devil to shut up. Pastor Nancy said it like this. You got the little prong things that hold a turkey, you know, like a rotisserie? Take the turkey off of the rotisserie and stop letting that thing keep spinning around in your head. That's what a thought is that you just keep meditating in your mind. Even if you don't speak it out of your mouth, it's just as challenging to you if you let that thing keep going around. The other day I was having this thought, and it wasn't even necessarily something terribly wrong. It was just annoying. And finally I was like, I don't want this turkey on the rotisserie anymore. I want to unplug this thing and take it out. Take that thing out. Stop letting it just go around and around and around. Get in your mind what the word says. If you correct your thoughts, you will correct your words. Amen? Oh, I'm doing really good. I guess I've been talking real fast. Glory to God. We are called to be those who live a supernatural life. Supernatural living should be our natural living. Jesus lived a supernatural life. And he did it not by being the Son of God, but by being a man filled with the Holy Spirit, acting on the words of God. That's what you're called to do. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, hearing what the Father says to say, speaking those things out of your mouth, and the Father does the works. That should be the supernatural life that you're walking in every single day. Your call is to bring the fully manifested plan of God into the earth. How? Just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. The problem is we get so caught up in thinking that we're incapable of doing anything about a situation that we stop paying attention. When you're not worrying because you're not paying attention, in a sense if you just shut it out your mind and you hadn't dealt with it, that's not walking in faith. That's neglecting truth. Your truth needs to be what the Word of God says. When those things come, it's not about just acting as if they don't exist. Deal with them with the words of your mouth, and the Father will do the works. When Jesus spoke it, he meant it. He didn't doubt that the Father would do what he said he would do. When he said, be cleansed, he believed the leper would be cleansed. When he said, go pick that fish up, there'll be tax money in there, he believed that it was true. And every step Peter took, he didn't say, maybe there won't be money in there. What if there's not actually money in there? What if there wasn't money in there? How would I pay my taxes? Oh no, what are we going to do? That's going to be so embarrassing if Peter goes and pulls that fish out of the water and there's not money in there. What if it doesn't work? No, Jesus didn't do that. He heard what the Father said. He spoke it out of his mouth, and the Father did the work. I'm not telling you to act like a fool and just make things up and expect the Father to do them. No, you hear what the Father says. You speak it out of your mouth. How do you know what he, what if you don't? You say, I don't hear him, Danny. I don't hear what the Father's saying. This right here. This is what he said. This is what he made available to you. The blessing, every blessing. Remember, that's the gospel. The blessing is yours. Pastor said something the other day. I hope you I'm glad you got that. Pastor said something the other day I hope you grabbed a hold of. She said, the blessing makes. The blessing makes. What does that mean? That means you don't have to make. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. The blessing makes. The blessing makes the appointment. I was telling Jordan the other day, I said, babe, what are we standing on to get more jobs on the books? And he said, the blessing makes us rich and adds no toil to it. And I was like, well, okay then. Normally I Gloria Copeland him, but he Gloria Copeland me. I was like, you're right. The blessing makes. It's what does the work. Why? Because that's what the Father set in place for you. He set that in place for you. Amen? So, Terry Mize, you may have heard of him. He's a friend of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, but he was at Pastor Nancy's not too long ago, and he told this story. And that man is a man of bold faith. He says he believes in the integrity of the Word of God. That's what you need to do. You need to believe in the integrity of the Word of God. He was a missionary down in Mexico. And he went, one of the first times he was sent out to preach, I believe it was, he went to South America. I hope that's right. South America. And he went to a meeting. There was about 400 people. He said he went there and they all looked miserable. They all looked like it was just totally miserable. No one looked happy, but they were all showing up. He said they came up for... I thought this was great. They came up for prayer, and he said it was like empty hands on empty heads. They came up not expecting to receive, and so they, you know, you're only going to receive what you pull out. If you think my preaching's terrible, part of that's on you. Faith receives. Yep, faith receives what is pulled out. Paul said, you won't receive the fullness of everything I have to tell you because you're not willing to receive. So faith receives. Anyways, so he goes to this meeting. He says the second night he asked the pastor, he said, what is going on here? And he said, they said the plant was going to close. So almost every person in this building is connected to that plant. So once they close, all of these people are without work or it's going to affect someone in the family. And so he goes to the service. He says, how many of you are connected to this plant? Every single person in the building says, that they're connected to this plant some way or another, family member, you know, spouse, whatever. And so he says, here's from the Holy Ghost. And he says, I decree and declare on Wednesday morning, the plant will not close. It will not close on Wednesday. It will not close on Thursday. It will not close at all. Okay. I mean, you're sitting in a room of 400 people. Let me tell you, that's going to take some guts. Like, if they show up Wednesday morning and the plant closes, you better believe you heard from the Holy Ghost, right? So, sure enough, Wednesday morning comes, not closes. 10 years later, that plant still hadn't closed down. That county was dead set on closing that plant. What am I telling you? It's still working today. You hear the voice of the Lord, you speak the words out of your mouth, and the Father does the work. He didn't go meet with the plant manager. He didn't go meet with the owner of the company. The Father did the work. And 10 years later, that place is still in business, and that word is still going around that community. You see, that plant, it was supposed to close 10 years ago. Now it's been like 40 years. It was supposed to close 10 years ago, but it didn't, because a prophet came into this place. A pastor came into this place. They spoke the word of God, and this is the fruit. You hear the voice of God, you speak what he tells you to speak, and the Father does the works. That's how your atmosphere is supposed to work. That's how you're supposed to work. You see, it's not about fivefold ministry. It's about being a believer in Christ Jesus. You are to set your atmosphere in place. You are to be the creator of the area around you. Miracles happen when we choose to walk in who he's called us to be. You see, God is absolutely good. That means that there is no darkness, no shadow of turning on the inside of him. He was created that way from the very beginning. That's why when his glory shows up, just like we said in the beginning, that goodness manifests itself, but darkness is exterminated from his midst. When he set Adam in the garden, that was the purpose for him being there, was to make sure that darkness had no entrance. Darkness had no way in. You see, what his job should have been would have been to tell that stupid snake to shut his mouth and get out of the garden that belonged to him, that belonged to his kingdom, that belonged to his way. The same thing you should be doing now with a thought that's trying to penetrate your mind. Shut up, get out, go back to hell where you came from. You ain't got no place here. You don't have any right here. You can't stay here. This is not for you. You see, he was called to make a garden all over the earth. He was called to make a garden everywhere he walked, everywhere his foot treaded. A garden was to be taking place. Think of it like, what's that girl on, what's that new movie? Encanto, you know, the little girl, she throws flowers everywhere she walks. Just flowers, flowers, flowers. He's creating a garden everywhere he goes. That was the call. That was the mission. Then when he said Israel, he said what? Preach the word all over the land. What did they get in trouble for? Because they just wanted to stay in a little place and not deal with anything else. You are to create a garden everywhere you go. The outward glory that was stolen is now the inward glory that's hidden on the inside of you, to create a garden everywhere you go. Does your atmosphere look like a garden? Does it? Does your atmosphere look like a garden? I'll tell you, in a natural sense, I have one bush and four plants. And the four plants have come within the last month, and they're still alive, so glory to God for that. But I walk in what I create with my mouth. And I have, those 9 years I've been learning, that's what I've been learning. Get your thoughts in order. Get your words in order. Speak what you want, not what you have. Learn to hear what the Father says and speak it out of your mouth, and believe in the integrity of his word that he'll do it. Believe in the integrity of his word that you'll do it. And the angels take charge at the assignment for what you allow to come out of your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm slowing. All right, speed up, Daddy. Exodus 33:18. I want to go one more place with you about God's absolute goodness. And then we'll call it to a close. Exodus 33, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whew. All right, so Moses said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. But he didn't just say like, oh, please show me your glory. Oh, please. No, it said, I beseech you, show me your glory. If you look in the King James Version, it says, I beseech you, show me your glory. It was like a demand on the goodness of God. It wasn't just he demanded God. Yeah. Yeah, he did. You know the verse, Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That scripture right there says that you should put a demand on the supply that God has already been made available for you. When my kids go and take food out of the pantry, I don't say, you know, something crazy. No, I've supplied it for them to eat. I've supplied it for them to eat. It's an expectation that I would supply food for my kids. I don't know if you know that. You're supposed to do that. If not, there's a pro tip. Feed the kids. That's the best one I got for you today. Show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I'll have compassion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it says that he took Moses and he put him in a rock, so that he could withstand the glory of God. Because at that time, he was not able to withstand the absolute goodness of God. You see, it's absolute goodness. Not just like a little bit of good. Like there can be nothing that stands against that. When you have absolute cold, it's like negative 400 degrees. There's absolutely no heat involved. Zero is cold, but it's not absolute cold. Absolute means that there is nothing blended together with that. So when you see the wrath of God, it's not because he was bad. It's because darkness cannot stay where there's absolute good. Okay? And so his word was at work and had to do the work that was set forth for it to do. So it says that he took Moses and he stuck him in the rock as the goodness went before him. Do you know what that rock was? The rock of our salvation, in whom we spend all of our days. It was Jesus. You have been placed inside the rock for all of eternity. All of his absolute goodness has been made available to you. That's why that garden should go forth in your life. That's why that glory should go forth in your life. You have been eternally placed in the rock of absolute goodness. We were created to manifest this absolute goodness in our lives, to be a witness to all of those around us. Amen. He fully manifested, to fully manifest the plan of God, heaven on earth, the whole garden throughout the whole earth. When God said, light be, it was a form of that glory going into the earth. You know, side note that I'm going to tell really quickly is, Billy Brim said this, and it just totally blew my mind. I don't know if I should say that, but anyways, go with me and we'll scratch it off the record if I shouldn't say. My mind is not going to blow, just in case y'all, for the record. Glory to God. Here I am talking about words, and I'm like, eraser mode. Bless the Lord. So she said that you realize when all of the dinosaurs and everything was the end, that there are literally dinosaurs mid-by eating leaves and stuff. She said, why was that? They say a meteor hit, but she says God withdrew his light from the earth in an instant. And if there is no light, there is no life. Not light like daylight. Light like the light of men. That is the spirit life of God. So when he said light be, oh, I sound like Brother Hagin. light was placed back on the earth. The spirit life of God placed in that garden. And so when he sent Jesus and that sound as a rushing mighty wind came into this earth, the spirit life of God, the light of God, the glory of God flooded that place so that you would be filled with the glory of God, that you would manifest the fullness of his plan into this earth, which is that men would have authority here in this earth. Amen. So in Ezekiel 1:26-28, I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to tell you because I want y'all to make it to lunch on time and I want to ask to preach again. So he in there he says that he sees the glory of God, right? He sees the glory of God, and he says when he sees it from the loins up and from the loins down. And I asked Jordan, I said, I mean, that's his whole body. Right? Loins up, loins down. Maybe it's just missing. No, I don't think it's missing a piece. So he sees it from the loins up to the loins down. And I asked Jordan, why does it say that from the loins up to the loins down? And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost manifests through Jordan said, because that's where the creative power is. The glory manifests from the creative power. Your creative power is the words of your mouth. The words of your mouth is where the creative power comes out. You hear what he says. You say what he says. And he does the works. Amen. You were created to make that garden everywhere you go. You were called to be a glorified one. You see, when Jesus comes and you receive your glorified body, not everyone is going to get that. You understand that as the body of Christ, as the church isn't the building, the church isn't a denomination. The church is the body of Christ, the governing authority that he has created in this earth. Okay? And we all know I could preach on the ecclesia for a long time. I'm not going to, but it was the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. You are separated from a time, this section of time that you are in, you are going to be that way forever. And there will be people that come after you and say, they lived in that time when the enemy was present on the earth. They were the ones who had authority over darkness. They're the ones who came and worked with Jesus. They're the ones who were chosen to be a voice for the kingdom of God. They're the ones who were chosen to manifest his goodness and his glory in this earth. They were the ones who were chosen to live on the earth while Jesus was reigning in heaven, but they were still there. And then on one day, he came together, raised them all up together in the climax of the ages, and together through eternity, we will still be the body of Christ. It's not just for this moment, but it should have already started in this moment. If you ask me, we should be further along than we are as the body of Christ. If you ask me, our words should be more perfected than they are in this day. Our training should have been more in place. But instead, we allowed the world to dictate what our garden would look like. We allowed them to have all their weeds and thorns. We allowed them to have all their ways placed in. But if we will instead choose to use the authority and the power that has been given to us as the glorified ones, as the ones who have been called by his name, as the ones who have been called by his purpose to bring the glory of God in this earth, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of the manifested plan of God in this earth, that you would just today take it a little more seriously, that today you would just say when you walk out of here, I recognize and I realize that I've been called to rule and reign, because that's what the word says. The word says he crowned you to rule and reign in this earth. He called you to rule and reign. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. So our reign has started on the earth and it will last through eternity. We aren't supposed to wait for heaven. We're called to rule and reign right now. Amen. So, Father, I thank you that you have called us to be sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. You have called us to be joint heirs with the one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you and honor you for all that he has done. And, Father, we call for the prayer, like you said in the beginning of Colossians, that we would walk worthy of the calling that you've placed on us. Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. That today we would hear more clearly. We would think your thoughts. We would speak your words. We would do everything that you've called us to do. That we would walk in a greater growth, a greater strength today, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, equipped and ready for the work that you've set before us. Father, that we wouldn't leave it to someone else or to another generation or just leave it for the future or for when we get to heaven. But Father, we thank you and we take authority over this day and we take authority over this place. And Father, we thank you that we will take our lives and make a garden of it as you have called us to do in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for each and every person who's listening today. We thank you, Lord, that your wisdom and your revelation is at work in them today. And we thank you, Lord, that they are moving ahead in the things of God and the things you've called them into today. Father, we pray, or I pray, that as you had spoke to me, that their heavenly design is becoming more at work in their earthly makeup than it was before we started today. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we bless you and we praise you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for those of you who have listened online. We say God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.